Father's Day, we've talked about it, initiated over 100 years ago, and God is our Father. And that was initiated a lot longer ago than that. But all through the Bible, we see God as Father, all through the Scriptures. Sometimes we think of the Old Testament as God, some austere, far away, uncaring, uninvolved God who's just a scolder. But in the Old Testament, the same loving Father was involved with His people as our loving Lord is in the New Testament. He led, He guided, He invited, He commanded, He scolded, and He judged, and then He restored. And all the while, He kept drawing His people to Himself. Like a father who loves his children today. He loves, He leads, He guides, He trains, He nurtures, sometimes scolds, He disciplines, and then He has to do it all over again. And sometimes many times in the same day. Anybody ever receive that kind of love in your life? Anybody ever need that kind of love in your own life?
Yeah.
Sometimes some parents get so frustrated they want to give up. But our Heavenly Father never does. Father God's heart is sometimes and oftentimes misunderstood. He's judged by a people who push Him away, like some kids do today with dads who love them enough. He just loves them too much to let them have their own way. How many know it is damaging and destructive to let children just have their own way? The little kids in the room didn't say amen very loudly. But it's true, isn't it? Pastor Sherry has taught a counseling class for many years, and she there's a series of questions. Am I loved? Can I have my own way? And there's different personalities that come as a result of that. Am I loved? Yes. Can I have my own way? Yes. What kind of child do you think that yields? A spoiled brat, right? Okay, nobody wanted to say it. What's that?
Ouch.
Ouch, yeah, yeah. I'm loved and I can have my own way. Soft and time spoiled, entitled. How about am I loved? No. Can I have my own way? Yes. Too many Christian homes are like that. Behaviors. Little behaviors running around. Little human doings rather than human beings. Am I loved? No. Can I have my own way? No. Criminals come from that kind of attention or lack thereof. Am I loved? Yes. Can I have my own way? No. And that's how God loves us. Turn to each other and say, aren't you glad you don't always get your own way? Ben, can you say along with me, amen, thank God some of my prayers weren't answered? Have you ever prayed some really stupid prayers? At the time, you didn't think so, but you look back now, you go, oh man, glad He didn't answer that one. The Lord knows what's best. And you know, He's gracious and He's kind and He's a Father. But overall, God is just like our hearts. He wants His kids to love Him, to want Him, to want to be with Him. And He wanted to get so close. Listen, God wanted to get so close. Finally, the only way He could accomplish it was to come be one of us and die a brutal death, be buried, and rise again. And send His Spirit. And when we surrender to Him, where does He live? He wanted to get so close, He just had to die rather than let us go. Aren't you glad? I'm so glad for what He's done. So, the Father's glory. In the book of Exodus, the story of the deliverance of Israel from Egypt unfolds. They went to Egypt as a family, 70-some members, and they came out how many years later? 430 years later as a nation. At the start of the book of Exodus, let me just give you some history and perspective. At the start of the book of Exodus, they were out there making bricks with straw to try to produce for Pharaoh because they wanted to build some buildings. And Pharaoh and the Egyptians treated them terribly. This is many years after Joseph was off of the scene. And the Bible says they didn't remember. The Pharaoh rose up who didn't remember Joseph. And they were there when the Pharaoh was told, let my people go. And he said, said, okay, you've got too much time on your hands. We won't give any straw to make those bricks with, but you better produce the same amount of bricks. And he was there. They were there. And God was there with them when the plagues hit Egypt and in order to set the people of God going. And they were there when they got set free and thrust out, if you will, into the wilderness. And they were there when God provided the manna in the wilderness with which to feed them. And God brought them to Mount Sinai where he gave them the law. And right there, he birthed the nation out of a family that had come out. And he birthed the priesthood. And he birthed the temple and a tabernacle, if you will, and a religion with laws and commandments. And right there in the wilderness, the fantastic artisans got together and began to produce materials for the tabernacle and cloth and beautiful embroidery and materials and metalworking. And right there in the wilderness, they didn't wait for Sunday to be active for God. They were at it right where they were. Come on, church. Someone say amen. Right where I am today, the Lord will use me, use all my gifts, and I want to serve him with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength right where I am. Well, Pastor Kev, you don't know. I have not been feeling well lately. I understand. You don't know. I don't have enough money. I'll have more money later. Well, you don't know. You just don't know. My kids are upset with me, and I just can't take time to do much for the Lord right now. Wait a minute. God knows right where you are. Did you hear him prophetically say that this morning? He knows right where you and I are, and he knows how to strengthen you. Just like people who were out in the wilderness, and God says, I want you to make a big tabernacle. And I want you to get things set up and get things moving. And they said, okay. So artisans were about the business of doing the work of God. And then when it was finished, God moved in. God moved in. Go to Exodus, please. Chapter 40. And I want you to begin with the last part of verse 33. 33 through 38 will be our key scriptures this morning. But 33 through 38 and 33 tells us that Moses finished the work. I don't have them up there. I want you to see it in your own Bible. If you don't have a Bible this morning, others can help you find one. So Moses finished the work. Verse 33 of chapter 40 of the book of Exodus. Now 34. Watch this. Then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting. And the glory of the Lord did what? Filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting because the cloud rested above it. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Say it with me. The glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. So God led them and guided them from then on with his glory every single day. No other nation on earth had the glory of God in the same way Israel did. You come to the New Testament in Romans chapter 9, and it talks about all the things that were distinct to Israel, and one of the things was the glory of God. And you look into the Hebrew, and that's the Shekinah, the power, the shining, the glory of God overwhelming and over-encompassing. And there was a fantastic cloud over them by day to keep them sheltered from the sun. And then you had this pillar of fire by night, and it was with them every day, day in, day out. Now, how many of you wish that God was on the scene that visible for you every single day? Don't you wish sometimes, you know, oh, Lord, I just wish it was that easy to see. But guess what? It didn't always reach their hearts, though God was right on the scene. How many know God's right on the scene for us today? Would you put a couple, I've got a couple of those. If you would, let's see, could you turn the lights out for us here, right here against the wall? Thank you, Dan. And we've got a couple of pictures of what it might have looked like. You have this in the center, this tabernacle. Now, before this, Moses had created a tent that was outside the camp, but God gave them instructions, the very heartbeat of the nation. All of the tribes were to be gathering around the tabernacle that was in the wilderness. God's heart is what should beat in our presence. Amen? If we don't have the heart of God, we don't have any reason to get together as a congregation, right? We need the heart of God in our own lives individually and personally. But you see the pillar of fire there by night, and all the tents were all around it. And this was not very good looking on the outside necessarily, but on the inside you had absolute glory and wonderful, beautiful artistry work that took place inside. If you'll do the next one, Pat, please. So it's just another kind of rendering. I think that the pillar of fire in the cloud is absolutely powerful. Now, outside, you see the fence around, and then you see that open area. That's the outer court. And that's where they committed the sacrifices day by day. Then the priesthood would go into the first part of that inner court, the inner court, and that's where they would minister every day. Then there's a back room where that fire came down or is marking, and that was the most holy place. And the Ark of God's Covenant, the presence of God, was typified by the Ark of God's Covenant, and that was where the high priest went how many times per year? Once per year. And he took in the incense, meaning in the New Testament you find the incense is the prayer and the worship of the saints. And you see that he sprinkled the blood. How do we approach God? Through the blood of Jesus. And so you had this tabernacle in the wilderness. Every day, God's presence was there. And you'll see a little bit more in the scripture. I'm just giving you some background. Since the people arrived at Sinai, it was about 3 months after the Exodus that they got to Sinai. They were at Sinai for about 8.5 months. Part of that 8.5 months, at least 80 days, Moses was up on the top of the mountain meeting with God. 40 days the first time, where he got the picture for what the tabernacle should be, or the tent of meeting with God in the wilderness. And then another 40 days after the people of Israel sinned and the two tables of stone were broken. You remember that? So it goes back up into the mountain. Perhaps 6.5 months were involved in gathering the materials and all of the construction of the tabernacle. And God's promise was this: I will dwell among the Israelites, and I will be their God. How many thank God that His promise to you in the New Testament, when you surrender to Him, is I will be in the midst of them. I live in their hearts, and I am their God. Are you glad for that?
Yes.
So what do you have here? The cloud was symbolic of the presence of God. Filled the temporary tent outside the camp on occasions, but now it came to fill this tabernacle of meeting. And Moses, though he'd seen the glory of God and been in the mountain, he was falling on his face. He couldn't even enter into this until the cloud had lifted a little bit, because he was so overcome by the presence of God. The God of heaven took a people of slavery, delivered them in His power, made a covenant with them, established them into a theocracy led by God, a nation under God on this earth. God was with them, God led them, and God guided them now, and was involved in guiding them to the promised land. The glory filled the temple. When else? Remember? When else did the glory fill the temple? At Solomon's dedication, when a permanent temple was built. You remember? The glory of God, the cloud of God, filled the temple. The priests couldn't even stand up to minister. Okay, so God led them with His glory. So we've talked about the three rooms in the tabernacle. The outer court, if you will, the outer court represents the front yard. And then you've got the inner court, where you have a private courtyard. How many know in many houses, it's more probably European, perhaps Middle East, than we might have here, but many times we have an interior courtyard inside the home. I've seen many houses like that, where you go through a gate or you go through a door and it opens up into a courtyard inside. And you're not just getting there without an invitation or the door being opened to you. And then there's the most holy place, and if you will, God's living room, where the Ark of God's presence lived. Exodus 40, verses 36 through 38. Exodus 40, 36 through 38. Just drop your eyes a little. Whenever the cloud, watch this, whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, I'm in verse 36 of Exodus 40, the children of Israel would go onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not journey till the day that it was taken up. Verse 38. For the cloud of the Lord was above the tabernacle by day, and fire was over it by night in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. Church, can you imagine what that must have been like? What an incredible privilege. God is on the scene. We see Him. We know He's there. And these are people who are bound in slavery. All of a sudden, they're seeing things happen like they never dreamed they would ever see. And no other nation on the planet of the earth ever saw anything like the glory of God like Israel saw. Now, today, we're called to follow His presence. Remember, when the cloud moved, what did they do? They moved. When the cloud didn't move, what did they do? They parked. So they stayed and served God wherever they were. How many of you know, wherever God goes, we want to go?
Yes. Amen.
Whatever God's doing, we want to do. Whatever God wants to do, we want to be involved in it. I don't want to miss the moving of the Spirit of God, do you? Lord, pour out Your Spirit upon all flesh, like Your Scripture says. I don't want to miss what You're doing. Someone say amen, hit each other on the shoulder and say, don't miss it. Don't miss it. And so that's why, whether some of you are used to it or not, we're going to continue to allow the gifts of the Spirit to move in this service. And we're going to listen when God speaks to hearts and when God says something. And we need to listen and to obey. How many want to hear the voice of God? How many would like to hear the voice of God a lot clearer than you do today? Do you know the best way to do that? Keep listening. Keep hearing. Keep obeying. Keep doing what He calls us to do. That makes it fresh and alive, right? You heard John talk about last week, those of you who were here. He followed the Lord right on down these extra miles on his journey and ended up spilling out his car into a, what? A cemetery. And he saw the names in the cemetery, and yet those were the same names of someone else he had contact with. And it opened up a whole door of salvation to come to this little community. He simply obeyed the Lord. Anybody had those stories in your own life? Come on, have you ever had a time where you felt God led you and you found out later it kept you safe, the Lord kept you safe, you didn't do or you didn't drive down that road and there was a huge accident on that road? Or, you know, I mean, sometimes, or maybe you feel prompted in your spirit to go reach out to somebody and that person looks at you and they go, man, did I need that today? Huh? Isn't that encouraging? If they look at you and go, you're crazy, I don't want anything to do with you, that's not so encouraging. But keep obeying. Keep stepping out. Sometimes, have you discovered, like I've discovered, I won't list, stay on this forever, but have you discovered that sometimes people don't want you to know they're really hearing what they need to hear?
Yeah.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Yeah, just let me suffer. But let's be those who have a heart to say, Lord, whatever You want to do, that's what I want to do. And whatever You want to say, I want to say it. I want to be sensitive to obeying You. We always need to lead in love. I'm not talking about being strange, rebuking, and condemning people. That's not what I'm talking about. But I am talking about strengthening and encouraging each other in the Lord. All right, so we want to follow His presence. All of that profound leading, that fire, that cloud, didn't change their hearts. I said it didn't change their hearts. Someone say amen.
Amen.
And God wanted to be closer still. That's still too distant. I'm in a box. I'm in a tabernacle. My cloud is there. My fire is there. And these people keep wanting to do their own things. I just got to get closer. Let me out of my box. So Jesus dies on a cross, and right at that moment, the veil is torn from top to bottom. Whose idea was it to tear the veil? God's idea. And what did He say? Basically, He said, the door is open, come on in. I don't want to be separate from you anymore. I want to live right in your midst, right in your heart. Give me a people, God says, who want to be with Me. His very name is Emmanuel, God with us. After hundreds of years of silence between the Old Testament and the New, the intertestamental period, hundreds of years, probably 400 years, where they didn't have the cloud, they didn't have the pillar of fire, they didn't have the prophecies, total silence. After a 400-year period, God says, I can't handle it anymore. I got to get back down there with my people. He was born as a little babe in a manger and grew to be the man who looked through the corridor of time right into your eyes and mine and said, I love you and I'm here for you. Because I want to be with you. I want to live right there in your heart and spirit. I want to guide you. Follow me. Be mine. Adam and Eve walked with God in the Garden of Eden. That close. Every day. And what separated them? Sin. Sin. Your sin, disobedience, your sin separates you from God. He's looking for people who say, so Lord, I want to just deal with the sin. Let's get rid of that. I just want to be with you. I just want to love you. So, you know, think of it as, you know, living room, courtyard. Do you just want to live in God's town? Do you want to maybe just let me live in God's neighborhood? I'll show up to church every now and then. I don't want to, or maybe I want to live in the front yard. Just camp out there. No, I want to come right in, right on into the living room. It's Father's Day. How many of you, when your kids come up to your house to come and visit, maybe you haven't seen them a while, they come to your door and you put a bolt on the door and say, you're not coming in here. Last time you came in here, did we have problems? That's not the way we do it, is it?
No.
Throw open the door, big hugs, come on in. Maybe you don't even know they're there. They just barge right in. Do you look at them and say, what are you doing? You say, no, this is your house. You're welcome here all the time. This is your house. God says, listen, come on in. This is your house. This is our house together. And I love you. God loves people. He'd rather die than let them go. Come on in. That's what he's looking for, people to say, okay, wow, I own the joint. Come on in. Now we can follow him and his leading all the time. Listen, God leads, speaks, and guides. Say it with me. God leads, speaks, and guides. The cloud, the pillar, represent the presence of God. When you've surrendered to Jesus, I know it's basic, but we've got to remember, he's where? Where is he? Some God far away? No, he's right inside. And he wants to guide and talk and lead hearing people. Now, the Bible talks about, in the book of 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 11 through 13. 1 Kings 19, 11 through 13, the prophet Elijah was running away and he wanted to go meet with God. And then he has this powerful experience where he sees an earthquake, hears a fire, or sees a fire. And then says, and after the fire, please say it with me. A still, small voice. Then it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle. He didn't wrap his face in his mantle at the earthquake. That was powerful. But that's not where he wrapped his face. He didn't wrap his face at the fire. That was destructive. But that isn't why he wrapped his face. So the still, small voice of God comes. And he heard God. So he wraps his face in his mantle and he went out and he stood in the entrance of the cave, and suddenly a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? That's really pretty cool. Elijah was afraid of the wicked queen, and, you know, he'd just slain all the prophets and all of these things, and he says, God, I want to meet with you. I'm the only one left. You remember Elijah? Anybody ever felt like that? Man, nobody else wants you the way I want you. You're not coming through for me. Did God ever not come through for you on something? That's because the Lord looks at you and says, I got a different way for you to do this, you know. So he comes in, he goes, I love this. He speaks in a still small voice. Elijah's knowing he's there. Maybe he thought God was going to unfold all of future history to him. And God looks at him and says, what the heck are you doing here? The Lord knows right where to minister to us. So God spoke. And God is speaking. But you know there's a difference between hearing a voice and really listening and hearing. Come on. Lots of analogies. Wake up, Father's Day. Dads, did your kids always do 100% of the time everything you asked them to do? Come on, you remember, right? Right? Close the door. It starts out differently. Close the door. Close the door. I said close the door! And then they look at you after 16 times if you ask them to close the door. Why are you so upset at me? And God speaks. And God speaks and God speaks. And sometimes we're like that. We don't pay attention. That's just a reality. So we're learning how to pay better attention, right? Listen and hear. Listen and obey. Isaiah 30 verse 21 says, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left. Out of the message it says, the Lord will be urging you on whenever you wander left or right. And He'll say, this is the right road, walk down this road. Pay attention. Listen up. Kids, listen up. Grandkids, listen to my heart. Children of God, listen to the heart of God. And you know, as children, when we listen to our parents who wanted us to prosper, when we listened to them long enough and did what they asked us to do, pretty soon we learned they were smarter than we thought. Come on. You know, you all know at 17 your folks were really stupid, and then a few years later they learned a whole lot. They got smarter. But if we learn to listen to their instructions, then all of a sudden, when something evil comes or a tempting voice comes, we can hear the right voice speaking to our heart, saying, that's not the way to go. Don't do that. Don't run with that crowd. Don't do that activity. And here's the right thing to do. Remember, you ever had that experience where you heard in your sound and in your hearing or in your heart, I remember what my grandfather told me. I remember what my mom said. I remember what dad said. And God says, if you'll listen, I'll speak. I'll guide. I'll lead you. And as you do, my voice will get clearer and clearer and easier for you to hear. How many want that?
Yeah.
Pay attention. Intuition. Sometimes there's a little check in the spirit. You know, we call a variety of things. Red flags go up. You ever been in conversation with somebody and you knew their purpose was not good and you might as well seen standing behind them somebody guiding in an airplane? Red flag! Don't touch this person with a 10-foot pole. Come on. You know, some of you are looking like I'm crazy. That's probably true, but regardless, have you ever heard that or seen that? Did you ever not obey that intuition? And you got bit? Got burnt? So the Lord tries to guide us. Aren't we crazy? I'm just trying to be real with you here. Aren't we crazy? If you're anything like me and you choose to go your own way, then it's really frustrating when God didn't bless you. How come? And God says, how come you? But the Lord doesn't do that to destroy us. Many times the best lessons of life will come as a result of our failure. All things work together for good to those who love Him. Have any of you ever learned from a negative situation? Man, I had times when my boys were little. When my boys were little, and I knew, I'd talk to them and talk to them and talk to them. I talk to them. And then after a while, I go, okay, and just stand back and watch. And boom, 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 boom. Then I walk up, I go, aren't you glad Dad's here? Love you. But you didn't do what I said, did you, honey? But they did it next time. Listen, God's real with us. He loves us. He doesn't want us to go our own way. But He's a restoring God who loves, who cares, who picks us up, brushes us off, just like you did with your kids. Just like we do with our grandchildren now. Daria was talking about her little one who did a front dive right off of a 2-foot motorhome. Oh, to pick him up and clean him up. Is he looking any better now?
Yeah.
A few bruises for a few days. That's what happens in our life. If we'll pay attention, listen carefully, if we'll pay attention, God will protect us and keep us safe. God will keep us strong. And God will keep us secure. Safe, strong, secure. The devil comes along and whispers or yells at us with a voice of condemnation. You're no good. You're awful. You'll never get up. You'll never accomplish it. And God comes along and says, get out in the name of Jesus. Listen to the voice of Jesus, not to the voice of the devil. I'm going to come to a close. The Bible says in Psalm 91, verse 11, He shall give His angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways. Watch that out of different versions. New American Standard, NIV. He will guard you in all your ways. New Living. To protect you wherever you go. The Message. To guard you wherever you go. That's one of the gifts of walking with God. But He wants to speak if we want to listen. It's part of the privilege of being His. But one of the most heartbreaking verses in all of Scripture was in Exodus, when the people of God went to the mount and they heard God, they saw God, and they were terrified. And they came back and they said to Moses, you speak with us and we will hear. Let not God speak with us lest we die. And you know what? The opposite was true. And that's what the devil does. He deceives us, and the opposite of what he says is always true. You stay away and you'll be stronger. Don't do that. Don't listen to that and you'll get better. If you let God speak to you, you will live.
Yeah.
Say it again with me. If you let God speak to you, you will live. And I think that's one of the most telling verses of all the Bible for all the Old Testament. How could it have been different if they'd said, wow, now, Lord, that's terrifying. How many know you don't mess around with God?
Yeah.
Old Testament or new?
Yeah.
But, Lord, please keep speaking. I may not get it. It may take 5 times, but, dear God, have mercy on me. Please, please keep talking to me. Please. Please keep guiding me. Please keep leading me. Please help me be more like you, Jesus. And thank you for your mercy in my life. God wants to speak if we'll listen. Simple keys. Stay in right relationship with Him. Keep reading the Word of God. Listen and obey. I'm going to tell you a real quick little story. Just a real simple story. You all have them in your own life. I dare say that I'm alive here today. Hope so. Alive here today because as a little boy, I heard a voice behind me. It was my brother's voice. But it's a perfect picture of this to me. You've all heard the stories. I was in Eugene, Oregon, playing on the sidewalk with my brother. I was the youngest of three. And this guy comes up in this car. Never seen him before. Opens the window and says, hey, have you boys seen my little dog? My little dog is missing. Shows us a picture. And no, sir, We haven't seen your dog, but we had seen a little dog running around. Maybe that, no, not that description. Well, I'd like to go look for him. Why don't you get in the car with me and we'll go look for my little dog? And I took a step and my brother was behind me and he said, very softly, Kev, remember what Mom and Dad said. Don't get in that car with a stranger. And if I recall correctly, I might have even turned around, as you can imagine I would do, and argued a little. Well, no, he's all right. He's just looking for his dog. Again, Kev, remember what Mom and Dad said. Don't get in the car with a stranger. And I looked at the man and I said, we will not go with you. Hope you find your dog. And my brother and I walked away. Now, that may sound like nothing to you. I believe before God, I am here alive today because my brother loved me enough to put a voice in my ear of truth. Church, listen to God. If you do, you'll hear a voice saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it. They had a cloud. They had a pillar. That seems like it'd be easy compared to what we got to go through sometimes. But Jesus is on the inside saying, I love you, church. You're mine. I'll guide you. Keep following God. Stand with me, would you please? Musicians, will you come? Let's keep following God. Amen? Amen. I want to go back to that song, I Stand Amazed. If you're here this morning, it's the key of F. If you're here this morning, you guys, and the Lord has spoken to your heart, and you know you need to allow the Lord to work something into your heart, you want to pray about something, come on up. We'll be honored to pray for you. If you've never surrendered your life to the Lord, this is the day to do so. Let Him speak to you. Let Him guide you. Let Him lead you. If you're here today and you're saying, you know, I need to open up a little more to the voice of God speaking to me. I want you to follow me. Does anybody want to hear the voice of the Lord better? Follow me in prayer. Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Today I surrender again.
I
turn away from every sin.
And
I know you want to keep me safe.
You want to keep me strong.
You want to keep me secure.
You want to lead and guide me.
I surrender again to you, Jesus.
Speak, Lord,
for your servant heareth.
I love you, Jesus.
Amen. Lord, I pray you would impart and continue to impart your presence, your heart, your voice, your speaking, Lord, to each and every person in this room. Lord, we are candidates this day as we stand with our arms upraised. Oh, Lord, we together say, Lord, speak to us. And we, your servants, will hear. We'll step out of the boat and we'll obey you, Lord. Father, together, we want to see you fulfill your will and move supernaturally in our lives and in this region. You're not a cold, austere God far away. You're a personal Lord. And we are so grateful for your forgiveness, your transforming love. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, can you tell him thanks? Raise your voice. Just thank him. Thank him and praise him this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, how we praise you, Lord Jesus. How we praise you, Lord. How we praise you, Lord Jesus.